Hello there, and welcome to another episode of The Sports Report. We are your hosts. I am Ben Meredith.
And I am also Ben Meredith.
Today we'll be getting into some college basketball, some NFL combine action, and some Wildcat sports before we briefly end it with just a very short Tar Heel in the Pros segment before we get on out of here. But Dad, how's life been? We didn't get to do a long tenured episode due to reasons. Would you like to share
it's
those reasons?
It's good. Yeah, I was traveling for work, and so it was a great trip. Glad to be back on East Coast time, and happy to be here.
Absolutely, and we missed you. But in that time, we talked about a lot of different things, which we'll probably get into today as well. But before we get into the Tar Heels college basketball, we'll talk about college basketball as a whole. Miami of Ohio is undefeated. Miami of Ohio is undefeated through all of February. I have seen reports for their seeding as them being anywhere from a 9 seed to a 12 seed. What are your thoughts on that?
I know nothing about Miami of Ohio, but I have to assume that they don't play as hard a competition as, for example, the Tar Heels or the Blue Devils. So, I mean, yeah, it's impressive. Anytime you're winning the games you want to play, I hate to get into the like strength of schedule conversation and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, eyeball test, are they really, really good? And, that's legit, or did they not play really hard competition? Not knowing anything about the Miami of Ohio schedule or who they played, or, you know, did they have non-conference against Kentucky and Kansas?
No.
It's great. I mean, good for those guys to win the games that they scheduled, but it still matters who you play.
I am scrolling through. They don't have a single quad one win. I'm fairly certain of that. But they are obviously 10-0 in every other metric, I'm pretty sure.
Right.
Or close to it. So they've played, I think they're like 14-0 in quad four. And so when you compare their resumes to, I've seen a lot of comparisons of their resume to a resume like Auburn.
Right.
Auburn, who's under 500.
Right.
But they're in the SEC. They're playing Kentucky. They're playing Tennessee. They're playing Alabama twice.
Right.
And they're playing them close. And so it's very similar to Carolina the year we didn't make it, where I was like, man, if we just, the ball had bounced this way against Kentucky or whoever we played, we're sitting in a much different situation. And so that's my kind of thought process towards it. I think they deserve to be. I've seen people say they're out, and that is blasphemy to me.
But who did you play? And I hate the numbers driven, like they've got to be in because they're undefeated. No, they've got to be in because they deserve to be in based on the whole entirety of college basketball and the division. Right. Like, it's
now,
if you didn't beat or you didn't lose, that's great. But also, like, are you a better basketball team than some of these teams that are getting let in? And you know, obviously there's arguments to be made every year we get into this. But I'm like, at the end of the day, you shouldn't schedule exclusively quad four teams and then expect to get in based on a 29-0 resume. It's like, well, yeah, but also schedule somebody that's harder.
Yeah, I am in agreement with you there. I think it is super important to think about just that, scheduling somebody harder, but also you got to play. But also, they can just go and win the MAC and they'll be a 13 seed regardless. And so that's something else. Now, right. If a team like, I'm trying to think of other teams in the MAC, I can't at the moment. I'll just use App State. They're not in the MAC. But if a team like App State goes and wins against them in the MAC tournament, Rice is in the MAC. If Rice goes and wins against Miami of Ohio, boom, they're a 15 seed if they even get in.
Right.
And so it's like, oh, so now they're 10-1 in quad four. That's right. A mess up. But yeah. And then ranked teams that play today, Duke, Virginia, they are playing currently. It's probably around halftime of that one. Duke was winning by around 10 last time I checked the score. Iowa State and Texas Tech play at 4. I believe that's a rematch. Texas Tech is the only team outside of the Tar Heels that have beaten Duke. And Iowa State has played their tails off whooping Kansas along with some other things. Rematch of Arizona-Kansas and a rematch of Alabama-Tennessee. And then Arkansas-Florida, that was game day today. They probably play in the late window around the same time as Carolina, who I believe play at, is it 8:30 or 6:30?
I believe it's 8:30.
That's a fun time.
It's a fun time to schedule a basketball game.
Yep.
Sure.
And then since we haven't, so now we'll get to the Tar Heels. We have not had a full podcast episode since, was it Pittsburgh? Did we talk Pittsburgh?
I'm pretty sure we talked Pittsburgh.
We talked Pittsburgh. That was a good game, seeing Zaden High. I've written an entire article about Zaden High. Go check that out. And his improvements from Miami, where he didn't play much, to Pittsburgh, where he started, to Raleigh, where he came off, where he started again. Then he went to Syracuse, came off the bench, had, I think, 9 points. Mm-hmm. Then he had 4 points, but was the energy in that... Who do we most recently play? Louisville was a huge energy boost in the Louisville game. What are your thoughts kind of on the Raleigh game and how we've kind of recovered from it since we don't have Caleb Wilson?
Yeah, I would prefer to not ever think about the Raleigh game again. That was embarrassing. But it was absolute perfect storm of all the things that could go wrong, and then we didn't respond to any of them.
Yes, it was the exact opposite of Pitt.
Right. It was like all the things could go wrong, and they did, but I'm still not going to make that an excuse. Like, you got to play. These are still good basketball players on a team and a good coach who has proven that he can coach, but then everybody didn't. Mm-hmm. The coach didn't coach. They were just not ready for the energy of NC State fans, and you
cannot count
out NC State fans get up for that game, period.
And shout out Cason Howell. It was his birthday. Happy birthday. He got a birthday present of watching the Tar Heels win by like 45 points.
Yeah,
I think he
saw
was
a
there.
Picture of him on the Jumbotron.
Yeah, that was awesome. For him, not so great for me, who had to watch that game from his couch after a soccer practice.
As far as the game itself, I mean, nothing went right, and we didn't respond at all to getting punched in the mouth. Anything that could go wrong did go wrong, and we didn't respond to it. We didn't make halftime adjustments. They just outplayed us on every side of the ball, and it was, just absurdly bad execution of a game plan. I don't know what the game plan was or how much it had to be modified because Henry was out or because Caleb was out, but oh my gracious, what an embarrassing way to go. But as far as your original question, how we've bounced back from that, it's been Seth Trimble. The letdown, the normal emotions that come from beating Duke in the way that we beat Duke, with the shot that we beat Duke with, to watch him struggle for honestly three halves after that game.
Really six.
He was hard.
Miami, he struggled against. Pitt, he didn't have the greatest game. He had around 14, 15. So solid game, but still not to that level, especially against a team like Pitt, who might not even make the ACC tournament.
Right.
And then you've got the first half of Syracuse
and
NC State, which were not great. And then he came back, and I think he had 19 and one half against Syracuse or something like that.
Yeah,
and
he
played phenomenal.
It's like a switch flipped on for him, and he realized, I'm faster than these guys. And if they keep coming off of ball screens the way that they're coming off of ball screens, I'm going to go to the basket. And not just go to the basket, but finish. The Carolina Insider guys were talking about that. It's like, we've always known Seth could get to the rim. But watching him finish through contact at the rim, really exciting. I think he's a real X factor. You mentioned Zaden High. He's a real X factor for when Caleb is back, whenever that is. Now we've got a guy who can come off the bench and give you that energy. I really liked your article where you compared him to Ingram, because that's who Ingram was. Like,
yeah,
he wasn't going to score 20, but he was going to be the dude with the edge on
the dude that got in someone's face after a hard foul. Yeah. Like that energy of just bang, bang. Hey, what's up?
Yeah.
Just don't get a technical.
This is my team. You don't mess with my team.
Yeah,
you
know? Exactly.
I'm not that kind of player when I played, and I'm not that kind of I don't love having five of those people on a team, which does happen at some organizations in the ACC. But I think it's okay to have one guy that is that guy. And Zaden Hyde definitely has been that guy since Caleb's been out. And especially in those couple of games after the state game.
Yes.
I'm excited. I'm hopeful. Obviously, would love to have Caleb back, because having one of the best players in the nation play on your team is better than having him sit on your bench.
Yes.
Watching him on the bench has been really cool for me, because that's the reason why Hubert recruited this kid. Is like, he could very easily be like, well, college was fun, but now I'm going to move on to the pros because I'm going to be drafted in the top five. I'm going to be making tons and tons of money next year. But he's not. You see him on the bench, and he's excited to be there. He got more excited for Seth's dunk than Seth got for Seth's dunk. I saw a replay. He's jumping like 3.5 feet off the ground in celebration of somebody else dunking it. Just what a cool kid. What an exciting thing to see him be that kid. And yeah, like I said, that's why Hubert has recruited him. And man, I hope he comes back soon, because having that kind of energy when you're not on the court is going to translate. I am interested to see how much of a reacclimation there is, because he's going to be coming back into a system that has changed since he was in it.
100%.
It'll be fun to watch. Hope he comes back before the Duke game so that we can get some jitters out and be a part of the Duke game in full capacity. But yeah, excited to see.
We'll get to that in a second. What were your kind of thoughts as Trimble kept going? Like, was it, oh snap, Trimble's going to get 30? Or was it, just win the dang game? The first half for me was like, okay, Trimble might get 45. Like, he was on fire and we were close.
Right.
And then as we pulled away, I was like, okay, well now Luka and Derek Dixon have taken over. Like, they had those crazy threes. Jaren Stevenson had 9 points in the second half alone. And Trimble didn't really take a back seat, but he was definitely not driving the bus anymore. He was very much your... Okay, Derek's not knocking down the three ball. Doesn't want to knock down the three ball this time. Okay, give it to me. I'll jab step and get to the lane, because, like you said, we knew he could get to the rim, but the issue was Louisville didn't have that Armando Bacot in the backfield or in the front court where you could just, oh, okay, he's there. I'm going to just go up there and show him who I am, and he's going to miss it. Louisville doesn't have that.
Right.
Kansas had that.
Right.
For example. And so stuff like that. And one more, and we'll go back to Caleb Wilson. His energy on the sideline is awesome. And this is no shade to anybody, but do you remember Cole Anthony doing that when he was injured?
I do not.
He came back.
Right.
But he wasn't the same player when he came back. He had like 35 points in his first couple games, his first two games or something crazy. And then he got injured in like the third game. He didn't come back until late into the ACC season when we were not well respected, and then he came back and we weren't the same. And then look at Koa Pete right now. I'm not sure what his availability is for Saturday. I know he didn't play a couple games ago. There's no viral clips of him from the sideline jumping up and down because his teammate had a crazy play.
Yeah.
And they were the number one team in the nation, by the way. And again, no shade to those guys. It's just what's happening. Caleb Wilson is willing to do that, and so obviously the rumors now are like, okay, well, does he want to come back so he can have a full Carolina experience? Don't get insane.
Would love it, Caleb, if you're listening. Listen, pal, you're gonna make millions of dollars as a Carolina player. So what if you make like seven times more in the NBA in like a year and a half? Like, you'll be fine. Just come back, bro. Like,
Ben and Jack Inc. will give you like all the money we can fathom, which is like 30 bucks.
I got like bucks. $75 with your name on it, pal. I'll buy a t-shirt. I'll do whatever you want. But no, it is really, really exciting to see a player that just genuinely loves being a college student.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of these guys come in and they're like, you know, trying to make sure they get theirs and make sure that their draft stock goes up and all that stuff.
Darren Peterson.
And he absolutely is doing that by enjoying college.
Yeah.
And so that's the part that we need more Caleb Wilsons in the world because it'll save college basketball during this absolutely insanity that we're living through right now of the past 3 or 4 years where there are no rules. And so people are looking at college basketball going, why is this a thing?
Yeah.
We need guys that actually enjoy being in college for being in college and being a student and being an athlete. Like, Caleb's there to be there. Huber Davis always says, you know, he wants you to get to the league, but while you're here, unpack your bags, right?
Yeah.
Like, I want you to enjoy, get that experience. And of course, I'm a little biased. I don't think you can get the Carolina experience anywhere else in the world of running out of that tunnel with those jerseys in the rafters. And you can just see Caleb has got his mind set on being a part of that, right?
He
said from the beginning he wants to get his jersey in the rafter. Well, buddy, there's only a couple of ways to do that. And I would be all for you having the type of year that puts you in the rafters, because that means Carolina is either cutting down nets or close to it.
So come back.
Yeah. One more year, bro. What are we waiting
you,
on?
You, Derek here? Dixon.
Go ahead and
Maximo
declare.
Adams. What's the other guy's name? Dylan Mingo? Come on, man.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Let's
bro.
Do this.
Let's do it. Yeah. $75.
$75.
Have your people call my people.
I'll give you three.
He ain't got $3. He's giving you three of my dollars.
Anyways, back to a more kind of serious topic. What were your thoughts on Henry Vassar's play in the Louisville game?
The Louisville game. So Henry
had two rebounds.
Yeah, that was the game where I was like, do we know how to rebound?
Yeah.
What is happening? And so rebounding is effort, period. And when you're 7 feet tall, a tiny bit of effort gets you a rebound.
Yeah.
Like. And so that was just hard to watch. And, you know, I don't know.
He may have been battling the Achilles or whatever it was.
I don't know what's going on with the lower body extremity issue. Like, I don't know the whole story, but oh my gosh. I probably yelled, get the ball 40 times.
I was going to say 55 for you. Yeah.
Like, it was a lot of times where it was like, the ball is loose, bouncing somewhere. And we don't appear to care. And not just Henry. All
not
of them.
Just Henry. But, like, I mean, honestly.
But Henry should be the one that's getting exactly. that ball. And he has been at times this season where it's like.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. First couple of games, I was not on the Henry bandwagon because I saw him getting the ball ripped out of his hands. Him not making that effort. But then that switch flipped also. And he started really showing that effort.
Yeah,
I think it was the Kansas game. I was really impressed by his effort there. It was one of the big games, Kansas, Kentucky.
Kentucky was the one for you
because it was like, okay, now I can see he's, you know, I'm a Carolina fan. I'm used to seeing the Sean Mays, the Tyler Hansbrough, the guys where it's like
Kennedy Meeks.
You are not taking this ball out of his hands. Once it gets to his hands, that's his ball. And Henry didn't have that. Then he did have that, and now all of a sudden. He's having flashes of not having that again.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, come on, Henry. Rebound the ball.
And you talk about effort. Louisville gave 110% on every rebound.
Right.
And then Luka Bogovats and Jaren Stevenson gave about 85% average effort, which is why I think, honestly, I think college basketball should have like a half a sack in football, a half a rebound.
That's right.
Because Jaren Stevenson, the two rebounds that I remember that Henry Vassar got, those were Jaren Stevenson's,
right.
Or Luka's. Like, Seth Trimble out-rebounded Henry Vassar. I out-rebounded Henry, or I tied Henry Vassar in the first half.
Right.
Like, it's just, you can't do that. Yeah. As a Carolina big man, I think I put in one of my articles, I said, you cannot go, I don't care if you have 45 points.
Right.
If you have less than 5 rebounds as the starting big man for North Carolina basketball, when your head coach is Sean, or when your
assistant
coach is Sean May, that's unacceptable to
right.
me. I mean, Armando Bacot would have 20 and 20.
Right. You got to do that.
You've got to get those. And I get it. You're a 3-point shooting big man. I don't care. Right. I think that was a game where if James Brown were healthy, which he's not, he had surgery. If James Brown were healthy, if Caleb Wilson were healthy, if the Yvonne guy, I can't think of his name.
Matt Lakovich.
If he were healthy, I doubt Matt Lakovich would have gotten in. But Matt Lakovich might have gotten in because of your effort. Lack of ability to rebound, and he would have put effort. He would have been 4 steps slower, but he would have been effort, which is important. And his plus minus for the Louisville game was plus 16. Don't know how plus minus works, because that don't make no sense. Because he only had 12 points. And so it wasn't like he had Seth's 30 burger.
It means they were missing the shots.
Yeah.
And he was missing the rebounds, because he wasn't making the dang rebounds. Somebody else was, or they were just not capitalizing on the rebounding disparity when he was in the game.
And Louisville shot, up until that run where they got it close, they were shooting arguably as bad as we were against State. Right. They were shooting terribly. I think it was like, I think Mikael Brown, the point guard for Louisville, finished like 6 for 26 or something like that. Like you can't, or 6 for 24, something like that. I was like, dude, that's tour dates. Like, you can't, like, shooting tour dates against North Carolina when you are ranked is just not what you want to have. And so obviously I think that was, we caught them on a bad day. We caught them in the Dean Dome. Now if we get paired up with them in Charlotte, who knows?
Right.
It is in Charlotte this year, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. Charlotte, Brooklyn, whatever city. It might be different. Who knows?
Brooklyn, that ACC hotspot.
Exactly. So we'll, I know we've been talking Tar Heels for like 15 minutes. What are you most looking forward to? What are you most nervous about when it comes to Virginia Tech and Clemson? And then there's obviously Duke. I don't think we'll record an episode Duke Day. So what are your thoughts
for those
closing out the season?
I think if we get the version of Seth that tries to score first and distribute second and tries to finish at the rim, I don't think there's anybody that can beat us. Just with Seth all by himself, not even to mention Caleb coming back, not even to mention, because what Seth moving toward the basket does is makes people guard him and collapse down on it. And we've got enough shooters on the outside for when they do collapse, Seth's going to see him.
He
was the assist leader in the same game that he scored 30 points because he was also looking
and he was
for
probably second in rebounds.
Right.
And
so, yeah, I think that's, for me, the entirety of the rest of the season hinges on Seth's ability to continue this focus. And if he doesn't, we're going to need somebody else to step up. But, yeah, I have a lot of hope for the rest of the season. But we could also get another one of those that this has happened far too often in the Hubert Davis era, where we just have the inexplicable game like NC State.
Yeah.
Where it's like, what just happened? Did he not tell them that this is how it's going to end?
That
Kadir
Copeland's the best point guard in the ACC and arguably the country?
Because we're going to have that game way too often. And so we need to figure out how we're going to respond to it when it happens, not if it happens. And I don't know if that's going to happen in Charlotte. That's going to happen in the NCAA tournament.
Like it did for Kansas in the championship game, or when it happened second half against Baylor, or first half against UCLA. We're going to have those games. We're not going to have the San Diego State blowout that we had in the first four last year.
Right.
We're not going to have the Marquette blowout that we had Brady Manick year.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to have those. We're going to have...
I mean, we very well might. We could have those, but we're going to have the game after them, too.
Which is Miami of Ohio coming in and getting red hot.
Right.
Or we get paired up with Michigan in the Sweet 16. Like, one of those just bang bang, don't know what we're going to do situations. But when it comes to Virginia Tech and Clemson, I don't know anything about Virginia Tech. I just want to preface that. Don't know squat. I don't think we've played them this season. Don't know anything about them. Clemson, on the other hand, I know a lot about because we're right here in the middle of Tiger Town. Not Tiger Town exactly, but we're
close enough.
Tiger Town
adjacent.
Adjacent, yes. They don't have Shefflin. They don't have PJ Hall. They don't have Hunter Tyson. They don't have Chase Hunter. They don't have these guys who you knew their names. I don't know a single guy on their roster, but I do know they don't have that big man who can stop Seth Trimble as a help defender.
Mm-hmm.
And so if Virginia Tech's in that similar boat, and also Clemson is collapsing and they've won 2 games in 70 years in the Dean Dome. Mm-hmm. So you've got that. Now, granted, those 2 games in the Dean Dome have been since the turn of the, I believe
they won
the
twice.
Decade.
I thought they just won once.
Nope. They won the Cole Anthony year, and they won once, I think, the year that we either didn't make the tournament or the year. No, this would have been the year we. Heck, they might have beat us the year we had Ingram in them. They beat us fairly recently.
It's not okay, guys.
Yeah, it's not okay. I think that was one of the things that made Roy kind of tip his cap. Like, all right, we're done here. It was bad. And so, I'm excited for those games. I'm also passively nervous for those games. Because they're not quad one opportunities. They're quad two opportunities. I checked. So we lose those games. We go from, hey, 5-6 seed to 8-9-10 seed. Which means we'll have to play UConn, Duke, not UCLA, good Lord. UConn, Duke, Michigan, Houston. One of those in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do that. Yeah.
Let's keep winning, guys.
So let's keep winning. Heck, go get close as you can to winning the ACC and then get a 4 seed. Would be my ideal situation. But yeah, do you have anything else you'd like to add about college basketball or Carolina basketball?
I do not believe so.
Okay, so we will jump right into the combine. We talked about that for way longer than I thought we were. NFL combine. Carolina guys are there. Do I know their names? No. Which tells you how big of a Carolina football fan I am this time of year. Gio Lopez isn't there. That's all I got. That's pretty much it. Do you know any of the... Have you paid attention?
What is football?
Yeah, that's... Thank you. Ohio State has a lab for players to come out of. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the Sonny Styles kid?
I have not.
He's like... I don't remember his exact stats, but he ran like a 4.58 40 as a linebacker. He ran a faster 40 than Kyle Hamilton, who's a... he may have been an all-pro this season in the NFL. Jumps higher than guy. I think they said jumps higher than Nate Robinson. Like, freakish athletic. I saw a thing where he was a 5-star safety. They flipped him to a 1st-round linebacker. Like, he's good. Which now gives the Jets a decision. Who do they take at number 2? Do they take a quarterback? Whether that's... I can't even think of their names right now. The Penn State kid, the Alabama kid, the Oregon kid staying. So who knows what that could do. And then this defensive class is looking phenomenal. So anyone on the defense could be solid. I think, obviously, someone from Ohio State is going to go 3rd overall, top 3 overall. And then you've got Reuben Bain. You've got a handful of other Miami guys who are in there. And then you've got Kenyon Sadiq. I believe he's an Oregon tight end. I could be wrong. Breaking the tight end 40-yard dash record with a 4.39. Pretty solid there. That's, you know, you got that right, Dad?
Absolutely. Just 100%. Let me rehab my foot
just a little bit.
More.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I'm there.
Facts. If you don't know, he had surgery, 6 months ago?
Yeah, coming up on 6 months.
Yeah. And so, and then the Jets head coach caught dozing off at the combine. That's hilarious.
It's a long day, guys. Lay off.
But, dude.
I'm jet lagged.
Bro. New York to Indianapolis. I could see it. Still.
I'm tired, guys.
Bro. I mean, you had jet lag this week. I mean, you know what it's like. Exactly.
I stayed up late and got up early. I didn't stop by Starbucks.
Yes. But yeah, what are, like, legitimately, what are your thoughts on that? Having the second overall pick and you're falling asleep while...
I mean, cameras are always on you. It is not surprising to me. I would not take it as a sign of lack of commitment.
Uh-huh.
Head coaches in the NFL do a lot and are constantly being criticized. I think I have, first of all, I have not seen this story at all. This is the first I'm hearing of it. But out of context, it does not surprise me at all that somebody would fall asleep at one of those things, because those, to my knowledge, it's like all day you're watching people run 40 yards and then people see how high they can jump. And this is not entertaining. Like, he's already got all the metrics he needs. He could have sent his assistant's assistant and done whatever. Obviously, yeah. You know, credit to the guy for being there at all. Falling asleep, no judgment out of me, buddy. I'd have been napping hardcore.
At least you're not napping on draft night, because draft night is super boring, but that's when everything happens.
Yeah, it's super boring for everyone, even the ones who aren't drafting, until it's their 30 seconds or 2 minutes or whatever it is.
I think it's four.
Where they've got to actually do the picking. But even then, they've got these statistical models that by the time they get to draft night, it's like, well, we know if X person is available, we're taking him. If X person is not available and Y person is not available, we're taking Z person. Like, so it really, I don't know why they spend 2 minutes or more than 30 seconds, because I feel like if you already know who you're going to take, you should just take them and not make us wait so long. But
seriously,
you know, makes for better TV, because you get to watch people get up there and flap their jaws. No, I've never watched a draft of any type, even ones that had very beloved players of mine, because it is that boring of television. I don't know why there's a market for televising that event.
Yeah, like I was at a 96 baseball game when Drake May was getting drafted.
Yeah.
And draft starts at 7, it's 8:15. And I'm like, oh crap, Drake May's getting drafted. And I pulled it out with the third overall pick, the New England Patriots select Drake May, quarterback, North Carolina. And I put my phone right back away.
Yeah, that's the only exception.
And then I was like, all right, cool. I'm good.
It's really big news for the families involved. But for the rest of us, it's like, oh my gosh, this is terrible TV.
I watched it hoping for the year Josh Downs went second or third round. I watched most of the second round before I was like, I guess it's Friday. I'm not going to spend my Friday night doing this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do something else with my life. And so I stayed up watching the entire first round 1 year. That was terrible. And then, yeah. But do you have anything else to say about the combine? I feel like you've covered pretty much everything.
That's about it.
Wildcat Sports. Coach Sargent has been around the school more frequently. I think I saw him four times this week, or three times this week at least, trying to get guys out there. First track meet is this Thursday, March 5th, National Coach K Day. Do you want me to pass the baton to you for you to get the Coach K joke in there? Do you want me to explain?
No, you got it.
Okay, cool. Coach K, for those of you who are unfamiliar with Carolina basketball history, March 5th, 2022 was probably one of the greater days of our lives.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I did get married on one day, but this is pretty close.
This is pretty close. So far, it's, I think, number one for me, number two, arguably, because April 2nd also happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's
tough to pick.
It is really, really
like
tough
picking
to pick.
Your favorite kid.
You've got a picture of you in your office of the April 2nd. Anyways.
But if you'd have given me a picture of March 5th, I'd have taken that too.
I would have taken a crying basic white girl at the
mm-hmm. somebody dressed in a banana costume.
Someone
sobbing.
Dressed in Big Bird. Yeah.
Yes. Bring it.
Anyways, it was when Coach K lost his final home game to the Tar Heels, and Dad made a website about
Coach
it.
CoachKHomestreak.com.
Yes. Which have you even looked at?
I updated it within the last 2 or 3 weeks to a fresher design. CoachKHomestreak.com, sponsor of the Sports Report with Ben.
Sponsor? Sorry.
Yeah, I pay for a lot of things that we're currently talking into, for that's example.
Valid. Okay. Okay. Anyways, Coach Booker will not be there due to a suspension for the March 5th meet and the next meet. I can't remember the date of the next meet, but he will not be there. It is at Mid-Carolina, so long trip. We are only going to have, coaching-wise, Coach Evans, the distance and girls head coach, and then the throwing coach, Coach Lawson, and possibly our pole vaulting volunteer guy. I can't remember his name. And then the driver. So I don't know who that is, but probably one of our football coaches or the former athletic director, Coach Wirtz. One of those guys will be there as well. So very few, but it's going to be very odd. It'll be my first ever track meet without having a head coach there. But at least I'll have my position or event coach there. So that'll be fine. I'm a thrower for the track team. And then soccer. Girls are 1-1 with a PK shootout against Thurman and a rough 1-0 loss against Cambridge. You were there for the end of the Thurman game. When did you get there?
We were there for the entire second half.
Entire second half? So you saw all the goals that were occurring in the second half?
Okay. I saw every goal that the Wildcats scored, Lady Cats.
Nice. Scored. So I am a player for the soccer team as well. Yes, two sports in the same season. It's not as fun as one would think.
I wouldn't think it would be fun.
Anyways, and so we left in the first half. First half, I'm sitting up in the, like, broadcast booth where they, you know, announce, and 77 with the tackle during football season. That area of the field, of the box, whatever, with Ben Balchin, who was running the scoreboard, Miss Anderson, who was running the scoreboard, and then a couple other players were up there as well. We came down for halftime because we had to, Coach Roberts' rule, and then we just hung out there. We heard the goal happen. Because the horn meant Wildcats had scored. And so I had to go to the bathroom like 2 minutes later. So I jogged from the practice field, which is like probably 200 yards behind the facility. Probably more like 100 yards behind the facility. Jogged there to get to go to the bathroom. Came back. And by the time I got out of the bathroom, we had scored again.
Yep.
And so what happened? Do you know? I know you're such an expert on soccer.
Yeah. They kicked the ball and it went into the goal. No, they were making great plays. I am not an expert in what I'm watching when I watch soccer. I've watched enough of it to, you know, I went to University of North Carolina where the women's soccer team was absolutely dominant for two decades. So I've watched a lot of soccer. Still don't really know. You know, like I can't tell you what kind of offensive or defensive set is happening, even though I know that there are offensive and defensive sets or whatever. But what I saw out of our girls was just extreme focus and aggression, which is what you need. And they were playing really, really hard. They weren't backing down from balls. They were going hard. And I don't even know the players' names, but one of our players, center mid, was just crushing it. Like she was a step faster than everybody she got near, even with the ball.
Was she the one that scored the goals? So. That was Brooklyn Burgesson.
Yeah. So she's fantastic. Yeah. She's really, really good. I love how vocal they are. There's a lot of talking. There's somebody coming up this way, straight line, like they're talking. There's a lot of talking going on the girls' team.
So. And they're all older, and they've all done this before, right, for the most part. Everyone returning, except for the freshmen, were on a team that almost won state last year. Like they were competitive in the state tournament. And so, excluding Zoe Rush, and there's one other freshman, can't think of her name, who got lots of playing time. The rest were Trinity Walters, the goalie, phenomenal. Kiesha Moore. Defensively, great. Val Thane, who got her first ever start and played very, very solid. Zoe Rush, I already mentioned her. She played great. The freshman out there had two or three times at the end of that game. We caught the last 10 minutes because we were getting ready to warm up. And she almost scored twice. It was like, man, her and Brooklyn were just up there. And a couple missed shots, great defensive plays to get back on defense. And then in PKs, Kinsley Gabona scoring, Brooklyn Burgesson scoring. She finished with a hat trick. And PKs confuse me because to me, the final score was 6-5. According to Facebook, the final score was 3-2 because they don't consider PKs in the final score. They just do who won the PK shootout. Which to me, that's ridiculous. It was 5-6. It also makes this game look way cooler because it was high scoring. But yeah. And then the boys occurred.
The boys team was present.
Yes. 10-0, not ideal. Again, lots of inexperience on that team. I'm a senior. That was my first ever varsity experience on a team sport. And so you're getting that as well as sophomore didn't have any experience, plus all them freshmen who had no experience. And so there's very few experience on that team.
And I really did think that given the level of experience on the team,
I mean,
that was not bad. But they had lots of things to improve on.
Yes. Like me and Chris, for example, picked it up 2 weeks ago. Wyatt Pickens, who didn't play, he might play next week, was a week and a half. Like it was, or tech, 6 days. Like it was not ideal.
Right.
And that's not business day. That's literal days between his first time showing up at practice and game day was Tuesday after state. And so it was like, so 3 days. And so we're sitting there like, whatever. And so we're getting another wrestler back. We'll see how that goes. It's real with Christian. Pop out to that one after the girls' game. So 7 o'clock on Tuesday. So unfortunately, we will not be able to watch senior night live. If you're not there because you're watching Seth Trimble, we'll be okay with it. But you know, whatever floats your boat. And then baseball and softball, those were both canceled during the week due to weather. The Clinton tournament entirely for the softball team was canceled, according to Facebook. Baseball plays today at 2, so that game has not happened yet. Y'all will likely know the result of that one, and I will not. As I'm speaking, do you have anything else you'd like to say about sports for Wildcats?
No, to reiterate, Strom Thurmond is really good at soccer.
Yeah.
Those kids, especially the guys. Number 10 and number 11, well, the girls were good, too.
Yeah. Number 10 was a sophomore, by the way.
Yeah, that dude was just elite at ball placement. Like, he was the one that kicked it in from, like, a free kick that was...
Yeah, he tried to...
Half field, and he kicked it, and oh my gosh, it was, like, the perfect spot to put the ball where the goalie cannot reach it.
Where a guy, like, jumped and headed it in.
Mm-hmm.
I had just came out the game and I was getting water and I had my head turned, so I didn't get to see that amazing shot.
They were really good. They played really well together.
And then
you could tell they had been playing together for
their
years.
Whole lives.
My only, you know, coaching reference, you know, if I were to give the guys any tips, it's just be aggressive going toward the ball.
Yeah.
They you could tell, especially early on, well, the entire game, they were afraid to go, afraid to hustle toward the ball and get in the guy's way.
And shout out Landon.
Yeah, Landon and trucked a couple dudes.
That was awesome. And then Kai Jackson, he did great. And shout out Sarush, I'm not going to pronounce his last name because I don't know how to pronounce it, for just going head first into a puddle. In the first half.
Yes, he did.
I mean, we're sitting there.
Well, he's wet.
I didn't see it in the first, in live play, but we're watching film, and we're like, and Sarush got puddled, is what coach said. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, his pants are black. I was like, holy crap, his pants are black. Okay, cool.
Nice.
But yeah.
But that's all I got for soccer.
And then I forgot to mention this, injury-wise for the soccer team, JJ hurt his knee late in that one. He's doubtful. And Efren, he had a hamstring injury. Unsure how serious it was, but did not practice Friday. And so curious to see how his recovery will go. See how long he could be out for. He could be out for a couple weeks. He could be out for Tuesday. We don't know. And so yeah, that's all we have to say about that one. And then we will end this one. We're going very long. Ending this one with Tar Heels and the Pros Combine. Again, they exist. Sorry, guys.
There were football players.
We don't know
go Heels.
Your names. Yes, go Heels and go whatever team you get signed to. Leaky Black signs a contract with the Wizards. I'm not sure if this was a two-way or a NBA or G League. I'm not sure. Did you hear about this?
Did
you hear about this? Okay, so I don't have him as a reference to know what's going on because he doesn't scroll on Facebook ever. And then Cormac Ryan went from G League contract to two-way player. meaning he will dabble in both after he had a 30-point G League game.
Nice.
That's kind of what happens to you when you have a 30-pointer. And by the way, in the future, for Tar Heels and the Pros segments, I'm only going to say stuff like if a player changes teams. Like, for example, Javonte Williams re-signed with the Broncos or Cowboys. Cool. If they go to new teams, if they get a NBA contract or whatever. So, like, for example, Armando Bacot's overseas, Nazir Little's overseas, Brady Manick's overseas, and RJ Davis in the G League. If those other guys that I mentioned get promoted to G League or RJ Davis gets promoted to NBA, we'll mention it on Tar Heels and the Pros. If not, we won't. And yeah, that's all we have here for the sports report. If you have anything that you'd like for us to talk about, maybe you think that there's a mid-major out there that isn't getting the respect that they deserve, find a way to contact me. Email me, comment on a post, Facebook DM me. I know 98% of y'all are watching this from Facebook. So find a way to contact me if you think, hey, maybe Lafayette, Chicago isn't getting enough respect in the basketball realm.
I agree.
Shoot me a message. Loyola, that's what I meant to say. Loyola, Chicago.
Also agree.
That's one I seriously agree on. I need to shout out them more often. But yeah, thank you all so much for watching, and we will see you guys next time. Go Tar Heels.